are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, September the 1st, and you will not believe who the ringer has the Pistons taking at number 7. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Really appreciate you guys. Today, Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer has a shocker in his latest mock draft that'll make Pistons fans happy, I believe. We're also going to run down the NBA action from Monday night, look ahead to Tuesday, and also tell you what Piston received a first-place vote for a postseason award, and also, interestingly enough, from who giveth that vote. Also, another tribute and remembrance of another basketball giant that we lost once again on Monday. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But before we get to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, the Locked On NBA account tweeted out our latest mock draft, which we have not released yet. We still got to tape the episodes for that one. But they put out a graphic of all the picks, and you can check that out. And we got mocked for our mock draft. I don't think much of this, if at any of it at all, was directed at me in particular. So I'm not saying this to poke fun of my comrades, more to make fun of the fact that like there's just the reaction from people on Twitter. Just a lot of dummies out there, I guess. I mean, the Knicks took a bit of a long shot at number 8. Wiseman fell quite a bit. I won't spoil all of it, but I thought it was a pretty good mock, you know, up until the Knicks at 8. And again, an upside guy at 8, there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. It was up until that pick at 8, it was all kind of guys that you could and should conceivably see going in the top 7. Again, Wiseman fell, so if you have some feelings about that, whatever. Obi Toppin fell a little bit too, but he's like 31 years old. And again, I'm on the record predicting already that I think Obi Toppin's going to win Rookie of the Year. Go to your favorite legal betting site, BetMGM, DraftKings, or FanDuel, whenever it goes live here in Michigan, and put some money on Obi Toppin to win Rookie of the Year. That's my sure thing of the next basketball season, so congrats to him. But this mock draft, I'll give a little bit of a spoiler. It was LaMelo number 1, Anthony Edwards number 2. So, I mean, after that, it's kind of like nothing egregious, quote-unquote, in my opinion. But some of the Twitter comments are funny, and it just kind of reminded me that I'm comfortable with where I am in the social media world, the clout that I have, the amount of Twitter followers I have. I don't have a lot of dummies in the mention. I'm going to stay real for you guys and not try to go chase the more followers or chase the clout. But there's just, of course, everyone comes with a lot of really funny gifts about it. I love Tyree Mitchell says, by far the worst mock draft I've ever seen this far. Sorry. I love the sorry at the end. Or the random text or the random reply and then just an LOL at the end. If you ever send tweets and just have LOL at the end, and it's not like an ironic making fun of how people say LOL at the end of texts or tweets. And again, this is a little generational, I believe, and understand as well. I got my man Twitter handle Cole Anthony Season, S-Z-N. And again, if you've ever used the word season in a non-ironic way, I've got some thoughts about you too. He says, no offense, but this is one of the worst mocks I've seen. Well, thanks for the no offense, Cole Anthony Season. Also, we got Reynaldo Matos saying, don't know where this guy's got that from. Wiseman will definitely be second. So apparently Reynaldo's got some intel from the Warriors war room, knowing that he's going to go second. But on to The Ringer, more serious matters, I suppose. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, NBADraft.TheRinger.com, one of the better guides out there, you know, a free site that you don't have to pay for as well. He's got his big board. He's got his mock draft that he updated on Monday. So with interest, I checked that out and saw a little bit of a surprise that might make you guys happy with the Pistons at number 7. We'll run down it here real quick. Number 1, Anthony Edwards of Georgia going to Minnesota. Number 2, the Golden State Warriors indeed took Reynaldo's advice, his lock of the year, James Wiseman at number two. Number three, Charlotte Hornets take Obi Toppin. So Kevin O'Connor certainly knows more about where Obi Toppin will go than the Lockdown hosts. Number four, Denny Avdija of Israel goes to the Chicago Bulls. Number five, the Cavs take Onyeka Okongwu. Oh, and I'm pissed, right? I also like this, that, and this is all my doing, but I like that I've become like the Onyeka Okongwu guy, and because I think I'm like the only person who thinks he's one of the two or three better players in this draft. And that's more, again, I'll say this, I've said this till I'm blue in the face. It's more about how this draft sucks, that I'll just take a guy who I know is going to be pretty good. And I know that there's a perfectly sound and perfectly logical philosophy out there that says you might as well take a guy who's got some star potential and go down swinging, and you got the upside chance. And I understand that Okongwu probably doesn't have the upside chance, but to me, with the Pistons, where they are, they need good players, they need bodies, they need some solid culture builders. I just feel like that's kind of a direction they need to go in this draft. Anyway, I'll kind of digress a little bit from, again, I like Okongwu like a little bit more than I like Haliburton, and who I like a little bit more than Killian Hayes, and I basically think the rest of this draft is basically garbage. So no, save me your like, how do we trade down and get more first round picks? Like, I don't think the Pistons want the 26th pick in this draft. Like, I don't think that helps a whole lot. I don't think there's no promise that you can get a great player or very good player at 7. So what are you going to get at 14 and 26? You know, I think late first-round picks are a little bit overrated of a commodity. Had some tweets about that today. Isaac Okoro, number 6 to the Atlanta Hawks. And number 7, you know where this is going. You're reading between the lines already. Kevin O'Connor, in his latest mock draft, TheRinger.com, one of the more respected draft analysts out there, says, falling to number 7 and going to the Detroit Pistons is one LaMelo Ball. Says he passes like he's on the Harlem Globetrotters and it somehow works. He needs to dramatically improve his scoring efficiency, but he has the upside to become one of the NBA's best playmakers. So with Killian Hayes and Tyrese Haliburton and Devin Vassell still on the board, even your boy Cole Anthony, even though it's Cole Anthony season, he's still on the board. Kira Lewis Jr. goes 13. But yeah, what would I think about that on draft night? The Pistons take LaMelo Ball over Tyrese Haliburton, over Killian Hayes. I tell you what, at number 7, it's going to take something really weird for me to be upset with the Pistons, who they take at number 7 in the draft, especially considering the long leash that we're giving Troy Weaver in his first season with the Pistons, his first draft with the Pistons. I'm going to basically tip my hat to whoever Troy Weaver takes, other than some name that we've literally never heard of, or someone who's projected to go in like the late teens or 20s or something like that. It's gonna, like, it would have to be a shocker for me to be upset about what they do at number 7. And that's to say that I think that you'll have your choice of solid players. There's different types of players out there. You'll have your upside guys, you'll have more likely your kind of steady, should be pretty good building blocks, not stars type of guys, and then possibly some high floor guys as well, like my Onyeka Okongwu. Maybe a Devin Vassell kind of fits into that high floor type as well, with the shooting and projectable defense as well. So again, LaMelo Ball, number 7, says Kevin O'Connor to the Pistons, one of my favorite guys to follow on the draft. So there's hope still. And yes, do put him on your big boards that you send to us as well. We're looking for your top 7. Send those along. Put it on the Reddit thread. We're going to talk about that probably tomorrow or Thursday's episode of Locked On Pistons. Who do the Pistons fans want at number 7? What does the big board of the average NBA or average Pistons fan look like these days? But up next, we are going to talk about what happened in the NBA on Monday night, what to look forward to tonight, and also what Piston picked up a first-place vote in the postseason NBA voting. That's coming up next year on Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about rockauto.com. They made an investment in us, and I'm hoping that you will take some time and make a little investment in them. With a little bit of your time, check out the website, rockauto.com, and I promise you, you're probably going to find something that you want. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. One of the big boys, but also great customer service as well. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The rockauto.com catalog, it's unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available free vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices. At rockauto.com, they're always reliably low. And the same for the professionals as the do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box. Please do that so that they know that we sent you. Support the podcast, support the network, and check out rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Yes, sir!
So for all the latest gambling news in the state of Michigan, check out playmichigan.com and give us a follow on the new Twitter handle, play_Michigan. Really appreciate you helping out and boosting up the SEO, the traffic, the followers on social media for all that stuff as well. But we're also going to talk about another death, unfortunately, in the basketball world, one that hits pretty hard to a lot of the folks in the basketball community. But coming up, we've got two Game 7s. Tonight, the epic Mitchell-Murray showdown will end. That's the late game, although it's 8:30 and actually going to be on ABC, too. So make sure you are in front of the TV for that one. Switch up the schedule a little bit. I think it might be U.S. Open related on ESPN, as actually the Celtics-Raptors game is a 5:30 start. So back to a little bit earlier, kind of late afternoon starts for basketball tonight, game two, as the Celtics will look to extend the lead to 2-0 there. But to end other action on Monday night, Jimmy Butler had 40 points for the Miami Heat. He was the man. They are up 1-0 on the Milwaukee Bucks. I wonder if we put a Twitter poll out there right now. And I know a lot of people were predicting the upset before. This isn't crazy to think that Miami's going to make this a good series or possibly even win it. But I wonder right now, knowing what you know, Miami's up 1-0. From here on out, as we sit here today, who will win this series? Is it Miami or Milwaukee, given that the Heat are up 1-0? I wonder. That might be like a 50-50 split. I wonder about that. Hopefully someone puts up that Twitter poll. But, yeah, OKC forces Game 7 against the Houston Rockets in an emotional series there. I'm not a Chris Paul guy, but I'm even less a Russ Westbrook guy. You know that if you listen to the show. So really nice. I enjoyed that fourth quarter immensely. I got to say that. How many times do we have to see this? Year after year after year. And I'm enjoying a little bit of the Schadenfreude, I think. Schadenfreude? Help me out, one of my German listeners there. But, man, just cackling in my apartment at the end of that game. Throws up the top of the key shot that missed by about 4.5 feet. I liked that. I liked the turnover at the end. But Chris Paul stepping up, playing really well against his former mates. No bad blood there. Some guys aren't built for the fourth quarter, is what he says afterwards. Really enjoy. Someone's got to lose, and I come up the winner at the end of that one, and we'll see how that all rolls. But, you know, the way that these series are coming, you're obviously going to have a little bit of a layoff for some of these teams. You're not going to have the Lakers playing either the Rockets or the Thunder until Friday. Of course, the Clippers chilling until Thursday when they will meet either Utah or Denver in that one. I don't know. I mean, it's the two most evenly matched series, obviously, in the first round because they're going to 7. But you kind of knew that coming in, right? Utah and Denver, a little bit of a coin flip. And OKC, Houston, probably less so. I think it's a little bit of an upset that OKC extended this one to 7 games. Has a lot to do with the Westbrook injury and then the rustiness as he comes back, of course. But credit to the OKC Thunder as well. Just unusual to, in today's NBA, right, to see 3-point guards and a true center in Steven Adams out there in a closing lineup for OKC and to have them play well in today's NBA. Their only quote-unquote wing is Danilo Gallinari, who's not exactly your defensive stopper. So all we hear about, you need stretchy, switchable defensive wings to play in today's NBA, and Oklahoma City has 0 of them in crunch time and seems to get it done against one of the hardest teams to defend in recent basketball history. So, wow, interesting series. I'm going to be glued to the TV for these Game 7s. That is for sure. But also in Pistons land, had a little bit of news come through on Monday as our friend Rod Beard of the Detroit News, friend of the show, friend of the Pistons community as well, revealed that he was the one who gave Christian Wood a first-place vote in the Kia Most Improved Player Award. Look at me giving the shout-out to Kia. That's right, brand-friendly. Here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, Christian Wood gets 1 first-place vote along with 6 third-place votes to total 11 points in the system there, ends up getting eighth place in the most improved player award voting. Brandon Ingram wins the award. Bam Adebayo second, Luka Doncic third, followed by Jason Tatum, Devontae Graham, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Pascal Siakam before Christian Wood. There are no other Pistons get votes in this one. I got no complaints with Rod's vote. Absolutely. I wouldn't have voted him number one, but I probably would have had him number three behind Ingram and Adebayo. I understand that there is some bias with me and some bias with Rod too, but they spread out the votes around the NBA geography. Each of the cities get a couple of them a piece. They do that evenly in addition to the national guys that vote as well. So I think that's built in, that's baked into the cake a little bit, and I got no problem with Rod, with a guy who he saw up close and personal many times this season, talked to people behind the scenes as well about the strides that Christian Wood made. Now, I know that Brandon Ingram turned himself into an all-star, went from a bit player with potential to an all-star. Bam Adebayo, same thing, became an all-star this year. Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, the list goes on and on. So those guys tend to get a little bit more shine in these kind of things, maybe deservedly so. Maybe the narrative fits a little bit more for them. But for Christian Wood to go from a guy who was bouncing out of the league for more so than not to now becoming a guy who will be in demand this offseason. I was about to say summer, but we know that the summer is almost past already. So this offseason is going to command a nice contract, might get eight figures each season. And that's a pretty big leap that he made. So I can't really argue with Rod there. Went back and did some research on other Pistons players who received first place votes in the Most Improved Player Award. There has never been a Piston that has won the award. The award started in 87-88. That was the first season. Went to one Kevin Duckworth that year. Going to go down the list of Pistons players who received at least one first place vote in Most Improved Player Award, which Christian Wood joins that illustrious list. How about Dennis Rodman in 88-89? Got one of them. Terry Mills in 92-93. And this is an award that usually there's like no slam dunk winner. It's like all sorts of votes. So I think the Pistons, I didn't do all the numbers, but feels like a little low in terms of the amount of shine that the Pistons have gotten in this award over the years. Allen Houston got a first place of votes in back-to-back seasons as a member of the Pistons, 94-95 and also 95-96, the same year that George Mirosan took home Most Improved Player Year of the Award. I appreciate you guys indulging me through segments like this. Sometimes I just do random deep dives and share with you some of the facts and figures of the past that we came up with. Following up, Allen Houston, so his draft mate was Lindsey Hunter. So four straight years actually that the Pistons had a player get first place votes. So Houston 2 years, then Lindsey Hunter the year after that. The year after that, Theo Ratliff got some votes in 97-98. He was traded during the season from Detroit to Philadelphia. Next up was Stackhouse. That was 99-2000. He got some votes. After that, Ben Wallace in 2000-2001. The following year, Ben and Jerry. How about that? Ben and Jerry get serious votes. Ben Wallace, the highest finish in Pistons history for Most Improved Player. That was second place in 2001-2002. Jerry Stackhouse got fourth place in 2001-2002. Both those guys got MVP votes as well. Not first place, but some MVP leftover votes as well. A magical season. We remember, of course, Cliffy Robb. Uncle Cliffy being involved in that one. Rest in peace to the man there. But Chauncey Billups was next up in 2002-03. So I believe that was his first year with the Pistons. He was got three first-place votes, finished sixth in the voting that year. Tayshaun Prince, the year after the championship, takes a bigger role with the going-to-work Pistons. 04-05, he got 14 first-place votes and was third. So the Pistons went from 04-05 to not getting any first-place votes until the 2011-2012 season. That was Greg Monroe picked up 10 first-place votes that year, got fifth in that voting. And then another long drought up until the 2015-2016 season, which we know as now in the current iteration of the Pistons as the one fun year, the salad days of this Detroit Pistons era. Although last year wasn't too bad either, making the first round. But Andre Drummond got one first-place vote in 15-16, leading the Pistons back to the playoffs for the first time in many years. Christian Wood joins that group. But up next, we're going to talk about another sad note here in the basketball community is a giant in the game of basketball passed away. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. More sad news across the NBA landscape as I woke up on Monday to find out that Georgetown coaching legend John Thompson passed away. John was 78 and was the first African-American coach to lead his team to the NCAA championship. Did a little broadcasting after his coaching career was done. His son took over the Georgetown program, and later one of his former players, Patrick Ewing, took over the program as well. John Thompson was 6'10", by the way. Obviously, you knew he was a big man, but I didn't know he was quite that big. But the guys on the Inside the NBA post game tonight on TNT had the white towels in a tribute to John Thompson. This is from the Washington Post obituary that I'm reading right now. His most profound contribution to the game was his grasp of its power to lift disadvantaged youngsters to a better life. He used college basketball and his stature in the sport as a platform from which to demand greater opportunities for black athletes to gain the college education they might otherwise have been denied, end quote. Of course, those types of sentiments were echoed by one Allen Iverson, his most famous alum, who in his Hall of Fame speech, in a clip I rewatched on Monday, talked about how John Thompson saved his life and that every school in the country was wanting to recruit AI to go play basketball and or football there. But after he had his bowling alley incident and ended up in jail because of that, Allen Iverson's mother pleaded with John Thompson to give his son another chance. John Thompson did that, and Allen Iverson certainly did Georgetown and Coach John Thompson proud there as well. Of course, Allen Iverson, a little guy, but Thompson more known for the centers. Center U for a little while with Pat Ewing, Dikembe Mutombo, and Alonzo Mourning as well. Imposing teams, tough teams, DC, and just an icon in the basketball community. And another one that we're going to miss, throw him again. And we talked about Lute Olson on this list the other day as well. Of course, Clifford Robinson with the Pistons connection, Chadwick Boseman, tangentially related to the sports world, certainly the world at large and the culture as well. But, yeah, I mean, I had kind of a somber tone on Monday. I thought it was just kind of – what was my mood on Sunday night, first of all, but second of all, I thought it was appropriate given the big news about Chadwick Boseman and, of course, with the Pistons community, Clifford Robinson as well. Hopefully you guys are doing all right. You know, I know the pandemic is – knock on wood, of course, a little bit lessening here in Michigan right now. Certainly not out of the woods, and certainly there are people still being heavily impacted. But I know the kids are back to school in some districts, going back to school after Labor Day in other districts, which creates all sorts of issues, especially if they're home. You got to figure out your work situation. It's tough times. Long story short, we're all going through something. Whether it's those minor inconveniences, whether it's major mental issues or family health issues, your own health issues, things like that. And I just hope that everyone takes care of each other, be nice to each other, be good to each other, do something nice for someone who wasn't expecting it and didn't ask for it. Don't be like the president. Don't incite violence for little to no reason. Be on the good side of history and the good side of your community, the good side of your group of friends, your family, or people you don't know, strangers, people who are around as well. Let's get through this year together and remember those who are lost. And John Thompson, a lot of positive contributions, a lot of people out there talking about what he meant to them. And, again, sadly, it's just another name to add to the list of a lot of Detroit, a lot of basketball, a lot of cultural, a lot of global icons that we're losing in a tough year. But that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Pistons. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you guys later.